Thank you all for being here this morning. And as Olivia said, this issue of health literacy is not only the topic for the day, but it is Health Literacy Month. And one of the things that we're really focused on at Canyon Ranch Institute is advancing health literacy in order to improve prevention. And we use the integrative health model to eliminate health disparities. And that's what this program that we're discussing today is all about. So we're going to go into a little bit more in the next few slides about the model of health literacy that Canyon Ranch Institute employs in our partnerships and programs, as well as you can see in this hypothesis slide, the integrative health approach that we're using. The Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program is the way that we work with healthcare professionals in the communities that they serve in order to help them advance their own health literacy as health and wellness professionals, and then that of their patient communities and participants. And what we are finding, and what we're going to talk about in some detail a little bit later, is that the health outcomes are significant. We're seeing this over a range of areas, and we're very excited to have the opportunity to talk with you about how using a program that is based in the best practices of health literacy, using the integrative approach, really does have these outcomes. Particularly, we're pleased to see in low income and really some impoverished areas. Just to do a quick check here, check in with you all, who here has came to this session knowing, having a definition in mind, having a context for the idea of health literacy? Wow, almost everybody. 5 years ago when I asked that question here at the APHA meeting, about 10% of a room of people who had come to a session that was about health literacy raised their hand. So now, if you could please raise your hand if you use health literacy in the work that you do, whether it's policy-focused or community-based work. Please raise your hand. Wow, I'd say that was about 80% of the room. That's fantastic. Just to do one last little check-in, of those who just raised their hand, raise your hand, and you can raise your hand both times now, if you do policy work using health literacy. A few. And then if you do community-based work using health literacy, so primarily on the community-based side. That's really interesting. Okay. Raise your hand, please, if you are involved in using an integrative health model in your work. Wow. About 40% of the room. Okay. Fantastic. So the definition of health literacy that we use at Canyon Ranch Institute is that was developed some years ago via the Calgary Charter on Health Literacy process. And it's about essentially five steps, each one being reached in order to get to informed decision making. So it's about being able to find, understand, evaluate, communicate, and use information to make informed decisions about health. A lot of times what we'll see when we start to work with a potential partner is that they will say, okay, we just got to get the information to people, and then people will use it. And it's that skip over that is the, you know, sort of assumption, unfortunately, that is made in public health and in clinical settings, of you don't have to get to the point where you make sure that somebody understands the information, that they can evaluate it in the context of their lives, or much less that they can communicate it with their friends, family members, neighbors, colleagues, the health professionals who are working with them to help them reach their goals. The contexts that we work in, and particularly with the Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program, are varied. And of course, they have to do with healthcare settings. They also have to do with at home and at work, as I just alluded to. And they also have to do with other places that, as public health professionals, we often think, well, gosh, that's an important part of living a long and healthy life, having, you know, some healthy nutrition choices, knowing how to make those choices, being able to access and afford those choices. And the same thing with physical activity and moving your body. So we talk about, you know, how healthy is your grocery store? And can you afford the healthy foods there? And do you know how to make recipes that involve healthy foods and healthy portions? This is our integrative health Venn diagram. Chuck developed this, and he's much better at explaining it than I am. However, I'm going to take a shot here. All of these components, which essentially boil down, if you want to just take it, distill it, are mind, body, spirit, emotion, all coming together and creating an opportunity for wellness, the ability to live in wellness. And all of those components are part of the Life Enhancement Program that we're discussing today. So by combining the integrative health approach, health literacy, what we come to is working in the community to address the gap, the no-do gap often, or sometimes it's just the no gap, K-N-O-W, no, with people in the context of their lives in order to achieve wellness. And this photograph isn't to imply that, you know, hey, just put somebody on a stationary bicycle and they're going to be well. That's not what I mean. This is just an image of being able to convey that it is about an individual. It's about making that personal, emotional connection to being healthy and well and being able to maintain that over time. So starting to get in a little bit into what the Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program is, there's 7 core elements, and I think I've touched on many of these as I've just been talking already today, but a few of them I haven't mentioned yet. So sense of purpose and spirituality are important components of the program in addition to the other components that have to do with behavior change and physical activity and the others. And these take on a different tone, a different meaning in different communities. And some of them, there's a very sort of religious grounding, and some it's not about religion, it's about spirituality, or it's about sense of purpose. But what we're finding is that that sense of purpose, or sometimes described as self-efficacy, is a critical component. In addition, the social support and follow-up. This is a group and individual-based program. The social support we're finding is extremely important to the participants in achieving their goals. It's that, hey, somebody knows what I'm going through, they've been here, or I can help them because I've been where they are now. Our partners are all community health centers, hospitals, and clinics that are very well established in their communities, which is to say that they know their communities. They aren't just providing medical services. They are truly a medical home and more. They understand the context of their community members' lives in terms of economics, in terms of social determinants, and they have facilities in order to be able to provide an integrative program. The sites currently for the communities, South Bronx is the first, started in 2007. The most recent is in Tucson, Arizona. Those are both federally qualified community health centers. In Tucson, it started in 2010. And we are always adding and growing and working with organizations to develop the capacity to be able to bring the program together to their communities. I think Chuck is going to take over from here. Thanks so much for your attention.
Morning. My name is Chuck Palm, and I'm the program manager for the Life Enhancement Program. And what I want to do is describe to you the program itself and how it works. It's basically the methodology for this, and then we have outcomes from 2 of our sites that we have enough data to be able to share with you today. The key for this program, like Jennifer started, is for us to develop partnerships to provide the program. We don't go into a community saying we're going to provide this program to this community. We develop a partnership, and then with that partner organization, we help train and bring up to speed a core team at that site. The core team is made up of experts in integrative medicine, nutrition, exercise, behavioral health, spirituality, hopefully, and pharmacology. And the reason I say that is spirituality and pharmacology experts at this point are still more optional, and one of our sites has both of those in place, and we're working to have this be the norm in all of the sites because we're finding that it's having positive effects. At these sites, what's happening, again, is we're not providing the program. They're providing it with their own patient population. They're recruiting their own patient participants themselves. Each of these teams has to be culturally and linguistically appropriate. So in the South Bronx, those programs are conducted in Spanish. One of the programs so far in Tucson was in Spanish, but in other sites they're conducted in English. And the participating core team members all have to be credentialed in their areas of expertise. We provide the training, though, to get these teams up to speed. You might be an expert in integrative health, but you might not know a whole lot about health literacy. You might know a lot about health literacy, but you may not be very much into integrative medicine. So we provide on-site 3 or 4 day trainings with the partners. We also have those team members come to Tucson for a week where they are also given an intensive personal experience in this model. The sites themselves, these medical centers, do recruit from their own patient populations for the most part. They generally screen in participants who are high risk for chronic disease, who are from low income or traditionally underserved communities, but generally that's who they're serving anyway, so they're not really reaching out into the community in any special way. The program itself, at first blush, seems pretty straightforward, but I think it's got a couple of features to it that we believe are what is helping to cause or create some of these great outcomes that I'm going to describe in a second. The program uses a curriculum that we've developed. It has a participant guide, wellness journals, there's a facilitator manual, and then there's an evaluation toolkit. So there's a lot of materials that these teams are provided as part of this program. The program itself, it works in 12 3-hour group sessions. The group sessions are kind of broken into interactive and didactic workshops. There are food demonstrations throughout the program conducted by the nutritionists for the most part. There's a facilitated visit to a local grocery store that many of the folks usually are going to for their normal grocery store visit, and that's to help build their health literacy in being able to appropriately navigate an actual grocery store. One thing that consistently is surprising to me is how small a relationship many people have with fresh vegetables or fruits, or a lack of awareness on even how to prepare the most basic foods, especially if you're living in a food desert yourself, food's hard to come by, fresh vegetables may be not your norm. The materials themselves, like I mentioned, are in English and in Spanish, and we do a formative assessment process with each new partner where we do a lot of focus groups and other kinds of data collection to find out what is normal in that community, and we modify the materials with examples and other kinds of things to make them appropriate for that community. So if in one community an example is about Tom who goes to work as a hard hat, then in another community it might be about Juan who goes to work as a hard hat but in a different place. So we find a way to make these examples appropriate from those communities themselves. But I think one of the components that makes this program unique and especially impactful is that all of the participants participate in at least 4 1-hour individual consultations with experts with the experts on the team in integrative health, behavioral health, nutrition, and fitness. I don't know how many of you are aware of this particular detail, but on average, a person spends about 1 hour with a health professional in a year. That's you and me, on average. Just think back to your last four visits to the doctor and how quickly or how long you might have been able to spend. If you're lucky, you were able to spend significant time with your health professional. Most people don't. In this case, they're going to have 4 hours of intensive one-on-one consultation to do some planning about their own health, using their own health data to make these plans. And we believe this is a significant contributor to important changes. In Tucson, and we're hopeful in other sites, they're also spending an hour with a clinical pharmacologist, and they're also spending an hour with a spirituality professional. The way that we evaluate this program is we take an extensive evaluation at pre, post, after 3 months, and 12 months after the program. And the participants get to, must use their own information for planning throughout the course of the program. So the outcomes I want to show you are from the South Bronx, which is an urban, poor congressional district, primarily people of Puerto Rican and Dominican descent in the program, and from Milan, Missouri, which is a rural, predominantly white community, and in the program, almost all Caucasian participants in English. The first category of results for the South Bronx are the physical results that are highlighted here. So you can see that there are some pretty good changes. These are only significant results that we're showing you. So we have a lot of results, not all of which we're going to be able to show you today. The C-reactive protein, for those of you who are not too familiar with it, is a marker for inflammation in the blood. Cholesterol has gone down. Strength, like number of push-ups, has gone up on average in the South Bronx. In terms of behavior change and health information changes, you can see pretty big changes in the amount of exercise people are doing in a week, getting a lot more sleep on average by the end of the program. These are pre and post results, by the way. And they're basically swapping out the number of sodas they're drinking for water, which is a really nice change in their health practices. And then finally, what was surprising only in its size were the changes in depression scale scores, stress scale scores, and days that people felt mentally and physically healthy in these communities. Over 50% drop in depression scale scores among those who were scoring the highest in that at the beginning of the program. So, like I mentioned before, two different communities, but similar results. They're not clone results because they're different. We're not sure yet what the differences are caused by. But you can see in Missouri also changes in physical measures. You can see increases in behavior and knowledge scores, including things like swapping out the water and soda, and improvements in their feelings of self-efficacy and that sort of thing. And also big changes in depression scale scores, stress scores, and the days that they feel mentally and physically healthy at the end of this program. Why we think that this program is showing these kinds of outcomes across different sites, and we have the other two sites' data in now, but it's not fully analyzed, and we're pretty confident they're going to show very similar results to this. The reason we think that these sorts of results are occurring are because we are very clearly helping these core teams focus on health literacy throughout the course of the program. And because they're using this integrative team approach, the participants in their own scores are able to show changes in knowledge and in practice using the integrative health model. Participants are more able to speak with their doctors and their health professionals when they're making a visit. They're more able to speak with each other in their support system in these groups. They're talking about speaking a lot more confidently and cogently with their family members about health, about why they're making changes in their lives and how they want to make changes in their family's lives. They're using their own health data to make these kinds of changes and decisions for their lives. And they're feeling stronger with it. We think that because they're feeling less depressed and they're feeling more self-efficacious about what they're doing, they're able to start new activities that are good for themselves and stick with them longer because they're feeling better about themselves and they're feeling just stronger and healthier in general. And as a result, we're seeing very important changes in their overall health, in their health knowledge, their mental health, and their self-efficacy, all of which were the goals of this program at the very beginning. So thank you very much, and we look forward to your questions afterwards.